down. All right, it's Dave Plyer back with you here on 720 WGN. So on Thursday, March 25th at 6 o'clock, join WTTW in anticipation of the premiere of The Great Chicago Quiz Show, a new fast-paced weekly series where Jeffrey Bear will put contestants from across Chicago and the suburbs and viewers at home to the test as they contemplate all things Chicago. Now, during this exclusive virtual event, host and writer Jeffrey Bear and producer-writer Eddie Griffin will take you behind the scenes, talk about the making of this innovative production, and host a live virtual quiz with contestants featured in the series. Now, The Great Chicago Quiz Show premieres Friday on March 26th at 8 p.m. Central and airs weekly on all WTTW platforms. To talk about it all is my pal, Jeffrey Bear. What's up, my friend?
Hey, so great to be with you again.
Always a pleasure, sir. This sounds like, and I told you this before we went live here, that this was a no-brainer. Like, as soon as I heard you were doing this, I'm like, yeah, of course, this is going to be a fun show.
Oh, I had a blast doing it. We recorded the show a couple months ago, and it's just so much fun. I think, you know, the thing about a quiz show, being on radio, me being on TV, you know, it's kind of a one-way medium. You know, we don't get to see our audience. And the thing about a quiz show is not only are you interacting with a contestant, so there's that two-way street, which you don't normally get in broadcasting. But then in my mind, I'm just picturing people at home yelling at their TV screens, you know, trying to get the answer before the contestant, you know, gets it, or second-guessing the contestant. And a lot of the show is the contestants are just so wonderful, and a lot of the fun of it really, it's about half, you know, the trivia questions, and it's really half my interaction with the contestants who were just so funny and entertaining and interesting. They all had interesting stories, great cross-section of the whole community.
You know, you answer questions and ask Jeffrey thing on Chicago Tonight all the time, and I'm thinking, like, how did this come to mind? Like, how did you say, you know what, we're going to create, we got to create a show out of this. This is going to be fun. Like, what from the creative juices of Jeffrey Bear, how did this all come about?
Well, I do a lot of public speaking. A lot of people, you know, have me come and lecture to their groups and so forth. And I don't know, at some point years ago, I just thought, I'm not just going to lecture to the group. I'm going to throw trivia questions, Chicago history questions out at the group and have them interact with me as an audience. And it's just always a hit. You know, people just love doing that. And I have a lot of fun. Usually they're multiple choice questions. So I have a lot of fun writing the fake answers.
I bet.
And that's one of my great joys of doing this. And then, you know, just pub trivia is so popular these days. And so you fold that in with our mission at WTTW and public media to both entertain and, dare I say, educate. And it's just such a fun, interactive way to engage in that learning process. And it kind of folds into the other thing I always say about these shows that I've done for years on WTTW, which is the I never knew that phenomenon. You know, people say, oh man, I've walked past that building 100 times, but I never knew that. Or I've lived here all my life and I never knew that. And that also brings in, I think, that was also a bit of the inspiration too.
But part of it is too, Jeffrey, that I don't think everybody could do this. Like, actually playing against you and having you hosted, knowing, and I call you always Mr. Chicago. I mean, you are a walking encyclopedia. I think that's what makes it additionally fun, because you're behind all this and people get to play with you.
Well, thank you.
No, it's true. No, it's absolutely true. You got 12 socially distanced Chicagoans from across the city. How have you been picking contestants? Like, how do people submit their names for this?
So, it's 12 per show, per episode.
Wow.
It airs every Friday night. And socially distanced, to your point, you know, that was another challenge. We were like, well, how are we going to do this in this era? And it turned out to be really fun, because I'm in the studio with a kind of green screen, funny green screen background. And everybody who is a contestant, one by one, comes in on the Skype platform from their homes. And so we put out a call for contestants on social media and asked people to send us little auditions, in a sense, little 30-second videos of themselves on their iPhones or whatever, trying to convince us that they'd be good contestants. And they were wonderful auditions. Just like the things people sent us were just so great. And then we also just kind of put our heads together about people we knew personally who we thought would be fun and funny and game for doing this. And then we also wanted to have some celebrities. Dave, I don't know how we missed getting you on the show. I really don't. But we have, George Wendt from Cheers.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
He and I ended up just riffing in a Chicago accent. I told him how much I loved his Chicago accent in his
SNL.
Super fans on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah.
The Bears. And I don't know how we just both fell into just this really cliche Chicago accent for the whole thing. Lupe Fiasco, the rapper, the famous rap artist, and, you know, some other sort of media celebrities from Chicago. Anna Belleval from WGN Morning News.
She was just on with us earlier. Yeah.
So it was kind of a mix of all those.
And I'm going to face questions like, you know, three first ladies of the United States born in Illinois and Chicago's annual Bud Billiken. Who is Bud Billiken? I mean, there's some, but when you talk about the educational piece of this, you know, I always learn something from your tours, always. And I think people are going to walk away from the show having a good time, but walking away a little smarter about our city.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the goal, and it's kind of like any good, middle school teacher. You sort of trick people into learning something.
That's right. We'll try a quiz right here with Jeffrey Bear, Mr. Chicago, and the host of the Great Chicago Quiz Show, debuting this week. And there's more with him next on 720 WGN. State Player back with you on 720 WGN. We're talking to Jeffrey Bear about the Great Chicago Quiz Show debuting Friday, March 26th at 8 Central on WTTW. So you have some questions for me. Now, I consider myself smart enough to know the basics, but I'm really nervous here to look like a complete fool because you're going to stump me in some way here. But I would love to play a little of this game with you.
Oh, I would love to play with you, and I've got some questions. And really, you know, there's... the way we do this in the show on TV, you know, no worries about getting this wrong. You're going to learn what the right answer is at some point. We're all going to have fun and just learn something.
All right, so, and it's multiple choice, right?
What's that?
Multiple choice, I hope.
They are multiple choice.
Woo! Yeah. Okay, all right, let's do this. All right, I'm ready. Hold on. Okay. Let's do it.
Okay. The story of careless Mrs. O'Leary's cow kicking over a lantern is a myth rooted in anti-Irish Catholic prejudice. But the conflagration did start in Catherine O'Leary's barn, Mrs. O'Leary's barn. What stands on that site today, the actual site of Mrs. O'Leary's barn?
Okay.
A vacant lot by city ordinance. It can never be built upon. B, a Chicago police impound lot for towed cars. C, the old Chicago post office. Or D, the Chicago Fire Department's training academy.
Training academy.
Ding, ding, ding.
Whoa!
You got it right.
Yes.
That's right.
All right. What do I win?
You win bragging rights.
Okay, good. Okay, what's number
okay,
two?
Okay, that's good. That's where they train the firefighters. Okay,
right.
So here's a suburban question.
All right.
For what or for whom did a developer name the western suburb of Carroll Stream? Was it A, named for a local meandering creek? B, an actual person named Carroll Stream? C, the Christmas carols that homebuyers would hear wafting from the community church? Or D, it's an anagram of the developer's name, Master Lorca?
Oh, man. I am going to say B.
An actual person named Carroll.
Actual person named Carroll Stream.
Did you know that before this?
I feel like I just saw this information somewhere, or maybe I was talking to somebody about it. It came up. Am I wrong? Am I right?
You are right.
Woo! Look at that.
Developer Jay Stream, it's kind of a sad story. His daughter was in a car accident and was in a coma in 1957. And there is the story is that as she lay in a coma, he said that if she would wake up, he would name the town for her. And that's, you know, there's, whether or not that's exactly true, we don't know. But she did wake up and she lived to be 77.
Awesome. All right. Keep them coming, man. Now you're building my confidence.
You're nailing these. I kind of feel like maybe I need to give you a harder one.
Yeah, maybe. But, Oh, no.
Are you going to give me some at the end of this?
I've got a bunch of them here for you.
You want to shoot one at me?
Yeah, okay. Where did Pabst...
Right. I mean, you know, if I'm doing this to you, it's only fair.
Okay, only fair. All right, where did Pabst Beer win its blue ribbon, thus renaming its beer Pabst Blue Ribbon?
The World's Columbian Exposition of 1893.
That's correct. It was selected as America's Best. You got it. Look at that. All right.
And we have to say Pabst.
It's Pabst Beer, of course. Pabst.
America's Best.
What street in Chicago, and I know you're going to know this one, what street in Chicago is the world's longest continuous street?
Well, I don't know if it's the world's longest continuous street, but Western Avenue is the longest street in Chicago, I believe.
Okay. All right. I'll throw another one at you. What was the first animal purchased for the Lincoln Park Zoo?
It was two mute swans it was a donation of two mute swans from the Central Park Zoo in New York. I don't know what was the first animal they actually purchased.
It was a bear cub for $10 in 1874. First time they wrote a check to buy an animal.
I was going to say that. No one will believe me now, but I actually was going to say that. I got another one for you.
Yes, sir.
All right, and here's multiple choice. Marshall Field arguably invented the department store in Chicago. What was his motto? A, satisfaction guaranteed or your money back.
Give the lady what she wants.
All right, you got it. Give the lady what she wants.
I'm a Marshall Field's fiend. Like, I love that store. And I always have one of the VPs of communications on, and I stump her all the time.
Oh, good.
I'm a dork.
Ah, no, you're not. By the way, satisfaction guaranteed or your money back was whose slogan?
Montgomery Ward.
There you go.
I worked for Montgomery Ward.
Did you really?
Yeah, and I worked in their corporate office. We did their visual merchandising, and at the end, I helped transfer a lot of their archives to various universities and so forth. So I got to dig around and see some of their, you know, ads from the 1920s and the catalogs and. Yeah.
Well, having worked as an ad writer for Montgomery Wards, you are part of a great legacy of another ad writer for Montgomery Wards, right? Who
Robert L. May.
What?
Robert L. May, who wrote Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
We are such dorks, man. Your whole audience is like tuning out right now.
Yeah,
like these
what?
Guys.
But I think it was Randolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer first. And then
something like that.
Then they changed it to Rudolph. Yeah, big dorks. You and I. I like it, though. I like it. I'm good with this. All right, you got any more?
I do.
All right, let's go.
I got to stump you on one of these. I'll give you another suburban one.
All right.
In the 1940s, the suburb of South Holland was one of the world's largest producers of what? A, tulips, B, onions, C, windmills, or D, wooden shoes?
Now, I'm going to be totally guessing on this because I have no clue. What if I threw onions out there?
You got it.
No way.
Well, it's the only one that doesn't really sound Dutch.
That's right.
They're actually little tiny onions called onion sets, which are these little bulbs that are sold to farmers who plant them to grow bigger onions.
Hmm.
And by the way, the windmill capital of the world was a different Chicago suburb. Do you know which one?
I do not.
It still brags that it's like the windmill city.
Still. No. What is it?
Batavia.
Oh.
Batavia, Illinois made those like big, they're like flower-shaped farm windmills that you see to pump water and so forth.
Wow. Look at that. Learn something new every day. Okay, here's one for you.
Oh, okay. Good, good.
In the 1970s and early 80s, how long was the wait to get tickets for WGN-TV's Bozo Circus?
Oh, yes.
Was it 3 years? Was it 8 years? Or was it 15 years?
I'm going to say it was 8 years.
It was 8 years. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the whole thing was that, like, when you had a baby, you right away put in your application for tickets so that by the time your kid was eight, he or she could could attend Bozo Circus, and that was right about the right age.
Yeah, I think I was, I might have been two. It was like 1969 when my mother wrote in for the tickets, and then we went in 1977. Literally, it was 8 years to wait for tickets.
So what was that like, attending Bozo Circus?
Oh, it was, you know, it was a blast, and I was more intrigued what was going on behind the scenes, because you know, you watched it every day, and now you see the cameras and how they do everything and what's going on in the commercial breaks and the, you know, busting up and the, you know, the jokes that are going way over your head because they're really written for the adults instead of yourself. And I remember also being, having a page take me to the restroom, like out in the hallway, and I came out and the page wasn't there. And my mother has a picture of him bringing me back into the studio, but it was Phil Donahue, because I kind of lost my way down the hallway. I was going to the wrong studio, and he's like, "Where are you going, young man?" I'm like, "Bozo."
He's that like, yeah. is a great. Do you still have that photo?
I still have that photo, and I actually told Phil and his wife Marlo Thomas about it when I talked to him about a year ago, that that was our famous meeting back in 1977.
I'm sure you made him feel very old.
Yeah. He's like, no. What he said to me, he goes, "Oh, I remember that." I'm like, "Yeah, sure. Sure you did. Sure."
He might.
He might have. You know, here's something I always find fascinating about you. I mean, you went, you know, you grew up in Chicago, right?
North Shore, born in Highland Park and moved to Deerfield when I was 10.
And then TV stations in Cincinnati and Michigan and Philly and, you know, going to Northwestern and Chicago Academy for the Arts, you know, became a docent for the Architecture Foundation and the River. What brought your passion for this city that you live every single day?
You know, it's funny. I will say something that might surprise lots of people. I love Chicago. I love the I've sort of become something of an expert at the in the history of Chicago. But I just love cities, and I love cities all over the world. And I happen to live in this one, and it's been great. And I'm particularly interested in architecture, and I think Chicago is like a paradise if you're interested in architecture. And as you know, when I was, you mentioned I taught high school for a while. Mm-hmm. I took a break from television early in my career, and I taught high school. And one day we took our kids on a field trip, and it turned out to be a Chicago Architecture Foundation walking tour. And that's how I found out about the Chicago, now called the Chicago Architecture Center, and became a docent. And that just really turned me on, you know, to the architecture. But interestingly, I love cities, and I've been to cities all over the world now, and every city has a wonderful culture that's very specific to that city. That's so cool to learn about. And so, I mean, I think I just hooked into, you know, I went to high school in Deerfield, and, you know, being a sort of sheltered suburban kid, we didn't go into the city very much. And, then I went on a summer trip with our theater department at Deerfield High School, and I went to London. And that was kind of my first city. Like, we were really just cut loose in London, and we rode the tube, and we you know, it was like a revelation. And of course, I didn't realize that I had a big city right on my doorstep that I wasn't exploring, you know, but it just turned me on to cities. And then early in my career, I lived in Philadelphia. And again, I just got so turned on to living in a city, mm-hmm. and just the density, the
learning
diversity, the history. So it's really a love of cities, I think.
All of Jeffrey's tours, and there's so many of them, can be seen throughout the year on WTTW in Chicago. And if you want to own them, you can also purchase all of these specials at WTTW.com. And this great Chicago quiz show, very excited about this, debuts Friday, March 26th at 8 Central on WTTW. Always a pleasure. I cannot believe that we really didn't even stump each other. We did pretty well here.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Thanks as always, Jeffrey. Appreciate it.